The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself. And God will glorify him at once. I will be with you only a little longer, but I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so also must you love one another. This is how all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading comes from the 13th chapter of the book of John. And this section of John's Gospel is unique to the text of John. There is no immediate equivalent in the other three Gospels. And Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you." This is the only time in all four Gospels where Jesus gives a specific commandment to his disciples. I will look back into Matthew's Gospel and find in the Sermon on the Mount various references, love your enemies, and you'll find in the 25th chapter of Matthew the final judgment based on how we care for one another. But for a specific mandate given to his disciples, this gospel today is the only place you will find it. The manner in which people will know that you are my disciples is the measure in which you have love one for another. So let me look at that and wonder with you in these few moments of homily what this might teach us. Well, this week, I returned on Wednesday from 2 weeks in Ireland. It's still green, it's still welcoming, and most of the time it was sunny. You know, you don't get a lot of sunshine over there. You don't have a lot of skin cancer over there like we do in Southern California. It was an important visit. I hadn't been there for 3 years. You know, when people tell me they're going to Ireland, I give them some advice. A few years ago, I met a couple who said, "We went to Ireland for a week. We were on a bus, and we drove the north, the south, the east, and the west. We saw the whole island." And I thought to myself, they must have gotten to know the people on the bus very well. You don't go to Ireland to see Ireland. You don't have Machu Picchu in Ireland. You don't have the Great Wall of China. You don't have the Taj Mahal or the pyramids. You don't go to see Ireland. You go to meet Ireland. And you meet Ireland in the songs they sing and the stories they tell. It's a storytelling culture. So when I went there for these 2 weeks, I listened to the stories. I went back and visited the graves of my parents 2 times. I went to the church where they were married in 1934, and I prayed for my parents. I went by the church where I made my first communion, I was baptized, my confirmation, the church where I served Mass every morning as a young boy. Went by my high school. And I wandered around. The extraordinary thing about the culture in Ireland, there is no road rage in Ireland. It's amazing. So unfamiliar to us. People have time. The story is told about the one who was interviewing a man from Mexico and an Irishman, how they handle stress. The Mexican man, he said, well, we don't take it too seriously. We have a word mañana, so we take it easy and we'll work it out later. And he said, Paddy, what about that? In Ireland, he said, we don't have any word that urgent. People tend to just go slowly, tell stories, and listen to one another. I remember on one occasion I spent an hour in a pub listening to this fellow who lived in the little village where my mother grew up, and I inquired about all the relatives and who had died in the last few years and who got married and who was sick and who was absent. I said, how about that Sister Margaret Mary, a cousin of mine? Oh, sister, she was home here on a holiday last summer. She's still in Houston. So you find out about all the people when you listen to the stories. And when I listened to the stories, I discovered my own story. When you listen to the stories of life, you learn about yourself. I learned about the humble, rich beginnings of my life, the blessings given to me so freely, the sacrifices made for me, the people who cared for me, who had dreams for me and hopes for me, the people who blessed me, the stories of my life. So when I listened to their stories, I heard the story of my own life. And in order to hear the story of my own life, I had to just peel back certain things that impede listening to the story of my life. One of the things I had a great opportunity to do during these 2 weeks was to read. So I did a lot of reading. And one of the books I read was given to me by my good friend Mario here. Gave me 2 books before I left. It's called Strength to Strength by Arthur Brooks. And in this book, he speaks about visiting in Taiwan, the National Palace Museum, and how his guide took him through and showed him the extraordinary collection of Chinese art they have at that museum. And then he explained to him the difference between Eastern art and Western art. He said, in Western art, you have a block of marble or you have a canvas, and the artist creates the image, creates the masterpiece. In Eastern art, the artist discovers the masterpiece. The masterpiece is already there. You just have to peel back all the things that need to be set aside in order to see the treasure. That's the story of my life, story of your life. How to peel back all the external, superficial things and to touch something much deeper inside of yourself in order to attach the story of your life. Pope Francis, this past week, speaking to moral theologians, urged them not to go back to casuistry, which is legalism, the legalism of the past. He said the past is an inspiration, but it's not a destination. Treat people with dignity. Embrace people, welcome people. The primacy of relationship over law is what Pope Francis was saying. How to bless people, welcome, touch people, see people in their brokenness, understand the story of a person's life, and see the goodness that's in each person. Not to go back to the legalism, the exclusionary legalism of the past. He said the past is an inspiration, but it's not a destination. So listen to this. When you look at the story of your life, What we have to do somehow, the mission in the church, is to peel back all of the external things. And Jesus in this gospel says, the way people will know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Love one another as I have loved you. And this comes in the 13th chapter of John, after he has washed the feet of his disciples. There was no question if they were worthy. They hadn't to demonstrate that it was a good thing for it to do for them. It was a gift, infinite love. Washing the feet of Judas, who is scarcely worthy in our understanding. Therefore, the mission we have in the church is to set aside all of the legalism, demand, and so forth, and see the goodness that's within the story of every person's life. In that way, we will love in the manner in which Jesus taught us to love. How do we offer an experience of God's infinite and unconditional love for each and every person? Not those who are worthy, not those who qualify, not those who fit in, but each person in their own unique story, with all of the diversions and struggles and failures. How do we get this sense that God's infinite love is greater than any limitations in our humanity? There's a story told about this person who was wandering out in a remote place and came upon a group of monks who were working on a building and one man supervising them. And this person says, well, I see the monks are working hard. Yes, the man said, and I'm the abbot. I'm overseeing the work. And she said, it's wonderful to see them building a monastery. Oh, he said, they're not building the monastery. They're knocking it down. He said, well, why would you knock down the monastery? He said, so that we can see the panorama clearly. Somewhere we have to disown and set aside things that somehow impede our vision of God's infinite love. Cherish the moment. That's why we're here at 9:30 Mass here, to say, in this community, we will experience the infinite love of God. In our oneness, finally, let me mention this. I remember July 28th, 1984. It was the opening day of the Olympics here in Los Angeles. And I was at the Colosseum, 100,000 people. 2.5 billion people watched the opening of the Olympics. They had a choir of 1,000 voices, a youth choir, 48 pianos, and an unknown person who was a checker at Hughes Market was selected to sing, "Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand." And the entire stadium joined hands. People of every color, every culture, every religion, we all joined hands and we sang, "Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand." It was magic. It was as if the world came together in one extraordinary moment of human belonging, one to another. Religion, color, creed, culture, didn't matter. We all belonged. Now, I've had people over the years tell me, I was away from the church, and I came to the 9:30 Mass. And when we got to the Our Father, and everybody crossed the aisle and joined hands, I knew I belonged. I had this sense that now I'm attached, now I belong. That's what it means when we take this gospel seriously. Tragically enough, Jesus said this unconditional, clear, and absolute fundamental identity of who we are as disciples. And in the meantime, we have dissipated this with laws and regulations and who's worthy and who isn't worthy. It's an extraordinary statement that embraces each and every one of us in God's infinite love. Never fear. Don't be anxious. Join hands. You belong. The infinite love of God makes us one in a community of faith. Amen.